Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we consider again the matter of the church, the body of Christ, part 2. And we're going to be looking at the matter of spiritual gifts. And maybe you have never studied about spiritual gifts. We're going to get you hopefully a taste of what it's about, and then you can explore it some more if you have interest. 1 Corinthians 12, follow along as I read, and I'll be reading the chapter for you. And 1 Corinthians 12, as we consider the matter of spiritual gifts, the church, the body of Christ. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are differing kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the one body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, then prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And the obvious answer is no. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, as we consider this matter of the body of Christ, I pray that we might be drawn to the fact that we each have a responsibility to play, a role to play within the church. And I pray, Father, that if there are some that are sitting on the sidelines watching as spectators, that they would see their role and get more involved. And we thank you, Father, for what you will do through your Holy Spirit in our midst today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we consider this matter today, if we could boil it down into just a very succinct statement, it would be this. We are different, but we need to be working for the same purpose. We see this whole all the way throughout this chapter. We are many, many parts, many talents, many abilities, but united together to serve the Lord. Unity and diversity, two very key words that would describe this whole chapter. God has designed the church as a way of reaching the world with the gospel and then growing them up in the faith. The church is his idea, not man's idea. It is not just a recent thought, a nice idea. Christ said, I will build my church. And I've pointed out before that some people say, well, I love Christ, but I don't want anything to do with the church because there's a bunch of rotten people there. Well, yeah, there's sinners. But you know what? When you think about the body, the head and the body, they need each other. If you have just the head and no body, that's gross. If you have the body without the head, that's gross too. And so here in our text, it's using the picture of the physical body. The head is Christ, and the church is the body. They must be linked together, and we must love both. It is fantastic to see what God can do through people working together, knowing that they have varying gifts and working for one cause. When we started the church back in a daycare center years ago, it was wonderful to see everyone playing their part. When we moved into this building and saw it renovated and then expanded onto the other side, it was wonderful to see people using their various gifts and talents. Some could pound nails. Some were told not to pound nails, but to do something else, provide food, or just stand there and watch and cheer on. But everyone had a part to play, and it was a wonderful picture to see. In the context before us, apparently in the church at Corinth, the people had lost sight of the fact that they were all to be working for one goal. And some, they thought that it was a great thing to speak in tongues, and so they wanted to speak in tongues even if they didn't have that gift. And so they envied others who had the gift, and they said, we want that, and they began to emphasize that above all other gifts. And so Paul addresses in this letter to the Corinthian believers, he says, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. Not everyone at that time had the gift of tongues, and you need to just deal with it. Everyone has their own gift, and be faithful in using the gift that God has given to you. And so with this hot-button issue at that time, he addresses some really key things that I want to bring out today as it relates to this matter of spiritual gifts, and we're going to find out what that is all about. Number one, if you're following in the outlines, as we look at our text before us, spiritual gifts are given as a gift from God. Notice verse 11. All these, and he's referring to the various gifts, and there's lists that are here and throughout the chapter, as well as other chapters in the New Testament. It says, these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The people of Corinth seem to be using the spiritual gifts as a measuring stick of who was spiritual and who wasn't. And the ones who had the more prominent gifts, they were the more spiritual ones. And Paul says, no way, Jose. That is not how it goes at all. It's not a badge of honor on what gift you have. You need to be using the gifts that you have, and they were given to you by God. God is the author of spiritual gifts. And if I could define that for you, spiritual gifts is a God-given ability to serve the church effectively. There are many ways that you could define it, but that's probably the simplest way that I could define it so that you could understand what we're talking about. It is a God-given ability to serve the church effectively. And the moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ, not only are you placed in the body of Christ, but you are given a spiritual gift by God. It is a gift. Even the word itself that is used throughout our text, it means it's a gift of His grace. It's given by the Holy Spirit, and it's a gift. It's not a reward for something that we have done or accomplished. We are the recipients of something that we didn't work for, we didn't earn, and don't deserve. They were not given to us because we were so nice. They were not given based on our smarts, our beauty, or anything else. He gave them because He is the giving and gracious God, and He knows best how to give them to each individual. Ben Patterson, on his book on marriage, said this: "Whatever we have because God in His grace and generosity has given it to us. When we realize this, there comes into our lives a joyful gratitude for what we have, and we are freed from resentment and anxiety over what we don't have." So when we really get the full impact of what our gift is and we understand that, not only are we thankful, but we're not so worried about how God has gifted others. We're just thanking God that we have the opportunity to rub shoulders with one another and to work hand in hand. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. It's a sister passage as it relates to the matter of spiritual gifts. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Again, in that verse, it reminds us again that it's a gift that has been given to us. Let's think about it for just a moment. Let's imagine on your wife's birthday, you gave her an incredible gift. In fact, maybe you had saved up for years to buy her that special gift because it was her special, 29th birthday. And you know, it had been 20 years, but still it's 29. And you had wonderfully purchased this gift and saved and everything for it. And you gave it to her. And she thanked you. And she took it to the bedroom and put it on the shelf and didn't open it. How would that make you feel? You would be frustrated, and probably you would be thinking something like this: "See if I ever give you one again." No, I mean, you had saved and you had done everything, and that meant the world to you to give it to her. And she never opened it, never used it. Or imagine that you, as a guy, you were given a gift of a new car. On your anniversary, your wife decided, "Hey, let's go in together and we'll get you a brand new car." And again, I don't know much about cars, but I know a brand new car, whatever it is, I'd be happy with it, okay? And if you just said, "Wow, that's awesome, let me drive it in the garage," and you pulled it in the garage, and you looked at it, and you called all your friends, and you took pictures of it, put it on Facebook, you let your wife put it on Facebook, and then you all looked at it, and you said, "Wow, isn't this cool?" And day after day, you invited your friends over to look at it, but you never drove it. Some of you say, "Well, but that's an antique. I wanted to collect it." No, this is supposed to be driven. That would be foolish. It was a gift that was given to be used. I'm afraid that many times, as it relates to the local church, God has given a gift to each one of us. And we're going to see that in just a moment, and I've stole my second point. All right? That each one of us have a gift. But the fact is that if we never use the gift, how must God feel? Disappointed, unhappy, displeased, if we're not using what He has given to us. It is a gift to us. God isn't interested in how many talents we have. He's interested in how we're using the talent we have. So if we only have one gift, and it maybe is not a gift that is seen by all, it doesn't matter. God wants us to use that gift. If He's given you multiple gifts, then we are responsible to use it as well to God's glory. Not to say, "Nah, nah, 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 nah," to someone else. But to say, "Thank you, God, that you've entrusted me You have given me the privilege of more responsibility, and I'll do it for your glory. What a gift from you. Faithfulness does not depend on what I don't have or can't do. Faithfulness depends on what I do with what I have. Number two, every believer has a spiritual gift or gifts. Some are entrusted with more. That's a very important principle throughout the Word of God. Some can handle more. Some can only handle a few things. But in verse 7, we see that now to each one. Well, what is that referring to? It's talking about believers. This letter was written to believers at Corinth, not to just the whole world, to say, pass this around to everybody. Yes, the Word of God is to be passed around to everybody, but this is being addressed to believers. Each one of you has been gifted by God. Each one of you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one of you, is the idea. Each one of you believers at Corinth, each one of you that are now believers in Christ, wherever you are, as He has determined. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. So it's not a question. It's not saying, if you've received one, no. It says, you have received a gift, now use it. Don't sit on it. There are various lists of gifts, as I mentioned before. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4. And I encourage you to look up those verses. Some of them list verses like, or list gifts, including this passage, of the gifts of miracles and speaking in tongues and these kinds of things. I believe those gifts are called sign gifts. And my understanding of the Scriptures is when the Word of God was complete, that those sign gifts stopped. In other words, the gifts of speaking in tongues. I wish I had that. It would have made learning Chinese a lot easier. I could speak to those that know Spanish. I would really love to have that gift today, but I believe it's not available today. I believe it was used, God gave it for the gift, those gifts for the laying of the foundation of the church, which we've talked about before. As the building was raised, as the church of God is being built, the foundation was laid by the apostles, and God gave them special abilities in the midst of great persecution. As the word was being spoke, they were authenticated. Their words were authenticated by the things that they were able to do. Remarkable demonstrations of God. Now, I still believe that God can heal. Some of you have experienced God's healing. But I don't believe that I have the gift, and I don't believe many people have the gift today to go up and say, okay, you are healed, and to see them fall back and all of a sudden healed. If that is the case, then I want them to come over to our house and we'll have a talk. And you can talk to Jason, and why don't you raise him up. If some people today have the gift of healing, I'd love for them to go to the cancer wards and to go there and to heal all those kids that are there. I believe it's not available for today, but I believe God still does heal and do miraculous things. No gift is universal. The problem here in Corinth was that some felt everyone should have the gift of speaking in tongues. By definition, no gift is possessed by all believers. And so that is really a problem that the church had. Back then, they should have realized, and he's making a point at the end of the chapter saying, everyone does not have the same gift. Get over it. Deal with it. That's why we need one another. And we're going to see that in just a moment. And our third point is the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body. Notice chapter 12, verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We see that repeated over in Ephesians chapter 4. The idea that it's for the good of the body, the good of the church to be grown. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. One of the very first and most important things about spiritual gifts is that it's never for our own good. so that I can sit at home and say, I have the gift of teaching, and I'm going to teach myself until I am so filled with information, my head is just fat. You know, that is not, no, the gift of teaching was given to use to spread the word, to teach, to instruct, to grow up God's people. If you think you have a gift in a certain area, here are some things that you need to be asking about using your gift. Are people being encouraged when I'm exercising my gift? Are people being drawn to Christ and to the beauty and splendor of Christ through me as I'm using my gift? Is ministry being made possible because I'm exercising my gift? Maybe you're a facilitator for those who are out in the front lines, and you're the supply line, and you're helping to make that out front person do his job. That is wonderful. That is needful. That is essential. Are people's needs being met because of the exercise of my gift? Are lives being changed because of my contribution to the kingdom of God? These are questions that we need to be asking, because our gifts are to build up the body of Christ. John MacArthur said this in his commentary on 1 Corinthians. It is critical to understand that spiritual gifts are not given for self-edification. A teacher who teaches the word and writes lessons that are only he reads or only he records, he is prostituting his gift. He goes on later on and says this, a gift exercised in private only is a perverted gift. Wow, that's pretty strong. But I believe it's in accordance with God's word that it's to be shared, a gift to be used to advance the cause of Christ. In your outlines, I've mentioned everyone is important. Every believer, every gift is important. And I've made this statement. We are interdependent. We are interdependent in the body. We need each other. Other people need your gift, and you need other people. We see that throughout this context. The foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. You're a smelly creature. Just stay down there. Keep covered over. Get us around where we need to go. We need each other. You should never feel as though you don't belong. And if you do, then we've got a problem around here. If you feel as if you don't belong, then we need to find a place for you. We need to find a ministry for you. You should not feel inferior no matter what your gift is. You should never feel useless. We need to get a handle on this particular truth in God's word. Others need what you bring to the table. You may do things behind the scenes that no one will ever see, but you are necessary. How about the liver, the kidney, the gallbladder, the heart? You don't see them. And it's a good thing, because it would be gross. It's a good thing we don't have a little window that, you know, you can look down. Ooh, you know, I keep that kind of covered over, all right? But you know what? Hey, you know what? We know it's ticking because we're here, all right? And we need that. It's essential. And you need other people's gifts. You are not self-sufficient as a Christian. You may say, well, I've got Christ. I know Christ is my Savior. I've got my Bible. I can pray. I don't need the church. Oh, yeah? Then you're going against the Word of God. The Word of God holds up the church as vital to your Christian life and experience. You need the church. You need others, because you don't have all the gifts. And you need to be encouraged. You need to be challenged. You need to be exhorted. You need to be shown mercy. All those things we need from one another. When you are not involved, others lose out. When you are not involved, you lose out. Everyone suffers. A little fable as I kind of bring this to up to the application at the very end. I read this little fable. It's called The Belly and the Members. All right? One fine day, it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work and the belly was having all the food. So they held a meeting and, after a long discussion, decided to strike work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, the members began to find that they themselves were not very lively. Their condition was deteriorating. The hands could hardly move. The mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest. So thus they found that even the belly, in its dull, quiet way, was doing necessary work for the body, and that all must work together, or the body will go to pieces. The church is like the body. It only functions well when all of its members work together. So the next time as you think about your body and how it all functions together, diverse parts, all with their own role and function, and how it makes the body go, think about that. That is the perfect illustration of the body of Christ, functioning with all of its diverse parts, with all of the diverse roles and talents and abilities God has given to each one of you to make the body, the church of Christ, move forward. So for application as we conclude our time, this portion of our service, number one, I encourage you to find out what your spiritual gift is. Find it out. And really the best way to find it out is by serving, and others will help you. There are a number of you that I see in your ministry, and I say, you are suited for that ministry. Wow, you are gifted in administration. That is you. Our church needs you. I would fall apart. The church would fall apart without you. There are others with the gift of teaching, others with the gift of helps. Without you, we would be in shambles around here. We would have no Panera Bread. We would have no water, no coffee. We would just be a mess. We'd have great teaching, maybe, but we would not have any of that stuff. We would not have fellowship. We would not have the greeters, people that love on others, showing mercy, tenderness, compassion, the gift of giving, all these things. Wow. Find out what your gift is. Number two, develop your gift. Develop your gift. If you think it's teaching, take training to be a better teacher. Having a gift doesn't mean you don't need to work at improving it or practicing it. If it's hospitality, put it to work. Using that gift for of preparing meals for others. And I love that about this church. You do such a great job with that. Number three, use your gift. Use your gift. It's one thing to have it, but if you're not using it, then we're going to all be suffering. And you know what? Next week is a perfect opportunity for us to all be using our gift. There are some ministries that we need to be very particular about. Teaching and working with our children. We go through all kinds of background checks and all those kinds of things. We have to be careful of that so that we can entrust and know who's working with our children and you feel secure with that. But you know what? Serving forks out of, well, if you use the wrong forks, you know, if you use the ones that were in our lawn, it would probably not be a good idea. But you know what? Laying out that, helping with the tables, bringing food, you know, putting your chairs out there, being a part of that, inviting guests, all of us, great opportunities. This is a great event for us. And I hope you all be lining up behind Pastor Jonathan, behind Tom and Patty. Look, Tom and Patty, raise your hand. All right. That little Tom back there, okay? Yeah, all right. Tom and Patty are helping to organize the picnic stuff for next week. They need help. If you didn't catch it, it's in the bulletin. Help, 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 help. All right? They need your help. And it's a great way that you can find out. Start serving. Start using your gift. No greater way than that to find out what your spiritual gift is. Number four, using your gift will bring great joy, and you can add this, and encouragement to the body of Christ. I love it when people exercise their gift. You don't have to say, will you get busy? Will you use your gift? Come on, get off your rear end and get busy. No, if they know what their gift is and they're excited about it, I guarantee you there is joy, even though sometimes it's tough. And Jasmine, I tell you, using your gift, you did a great job. And sometimes the joy waned a little bit with all those little kids. She did a great job, by the way. That's taxing. Man, when I went home and helping out just in a few minutes with the little kids, I was tired. So, honey, I got to go to bed. Man, that's tough. I'm glad that we didn't have 14 at one time. You know, that's great. One at a time for many years in between. But, you know, using your talent, using your gifts, there's great joy in that. It brings great joy to us, to ourselves, and to others. Number five, we will give account of our gift one day. We will stand before God one day, and He'll not say, you know, hey, what was your scores on your aptitude test? Nah, you know. How many times did you go to church? Okay, you know, church attendance is important, but He's going to say, how did you use the gift that I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Give an accounting of what I've done, of what I've given to you. I'll close with this illustration. It's entitled, it's a little illustration, Who Flew the Kite? I did, said the wind. I did, said the paper. I did, said the string. I did, said the boy. But in reality, they all flew the kite. If the wind had lulled, if the paper had torn, if the sticks had broken, if the tail had got caught in a tree, or if the boy had fallen, then the kite would have come down. Each had a part to play. God has placed you in a strategic role. You're important to your church family, to you, to the local church, to the body of Christ. Use your gift and leave the results to Him. God didn't bring you here to this church to be a spectator. He wants you to help change the world through using your gift. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for what You've done, for how You've gifted us, for how You've brought together this group of individuals, not by chance, but by Your design. And You've not made any mistakes. You've not run out of gifts when it came to each one here. But You've given us, by Your design, by Your specific purpose, a role to play. May we be faithfully exercising that role. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.